Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
We did ask a question earlier in today's show. Didn't really plan it, just kind of came up. What stat line from Dylan Gabriel would have you buzzing about Dylan Gabriel on Monday? And yes, that includes stat lines where he gets benched and Shador plays. We take all answers on this show. But to talk all things Cleveland Browns, including this Browns-Ravens game, we head out to the fan hotline and welcome on of The Athletic. Zach Jackson joins us right now. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How we doing?
We're doing all right. It's a good Friday. How about you, bud?
Yeah, good.
Yeah. You know, the season's been full of joys, so it's been really good.
Gets interesting. It probably gets even more interesting from here, given the Dylan stuff and the Shador stuff and jobs and all that. But I'll ask you: is there a stat line that you could see from Dylan on Sunday that would make you go, "All right, maybe we were too quick in our judgment"? The five previous starts.
No, the only stat line I see is 18 of 32 for 176, just like the other ones. But what you said before that, Nick, is interesting because I've covered a lot of these. And with eight to go, I would say that this one probably does stand as more interesting, or at least some of the possibilities that are still out there stand as more interesting, than some of them have been. Because, you know, if you win six games in 2 years, you shouldn't have any job security, right? If you're out there completely overmatched as a quarterback, you shouldn't have any job security. There's five games at home, which adds a fascinating angle to this. And, you know, there's still chances for this team to legitimately play spoiler. And this defense is still good enough to do that to somebody. So I left some of them out, but, this is a dead season, which it is always going to be in terms of them winning anything that goes in the books. But this is not a dead story, you know, by any means. I mean, yes, you know, January through March are going to be fascinating, but it's not like we're there quite yet.
Zach, so you kind of sound like you're just ready to see Shador then.
Probably, yeah. There's layers to it, Jonathan, but what we've seen here tells the story. What we've seen here is completely unsurprising, and what we've seen here is not really going to change. And it does not all lay on the feet of the current quarterback, right? But, like, this is what they've signed up for. This is who they chose, and this is what he can do. And so, you know, that's not to say there's not some drama with this Sunday. There's not to say that I truly do think, and this kind of sums up the whole state of things, I truly do think the offense was a little better in some areas last week, right? But there's a ceiling on what it can be. So there was never any intention to play Shador, but a lot of the other plans or what they were supposed to be have been thrown out the window too. So I'm probably ready for the next chapter in that, which at some point soon, I truly believe it's coming.
Zach, would a win on Sunday against the Ravens cancel out the Jets loss?
Yes, it would. It actually would. Because it would temporarily change the whole vibe. It would serve as the spoiler. It would shake up the division in the AFC playoff race. And it would both validate this defense and further frustrate the fan base by saying we had a defense that was good enough to actually deliver something, or at least bigger games, right? And then at least the next couple of games would matter. So I do think the Browns will show up and play on both sides. You know, I do think this defense is built in a way to frustrate the Ravens. So add some weather and both teams kind of probably believing the 16 or 19 points wins it. And this could be an old-fashioned slobber knocker. And the longer the Browns drag them into that, the more chance they have for something crazy to happen and actually win.
Zach, I'm just curious, because you just said an answer ago that you thought that there was never an intention to play Shedeur Sanders. What exactly did you think? Now that we have the idea that we've watched this season go the way that it's going, and it does seem like Shedeur will get in, or maybe even Deshaun gets in, I don't know. But once we see where it's at, what do you think the intention actually was?
Shedeur was drafted as a developmental quarterback, right? And Shedeur remains a developmental quarterback. So when I said that, Jonathan, I'm not just reading tea leaves. That's that's things that have been passed along. I think that's fairly obvious, right? So, you know, first of all, I would say that there was no intention to initially to put Dylan in on October 1st, but that happened, October 5th, first game of October, right? So I believe, and always have believed, that Shedeur has the talent to be at least an average NFL starting quarterback a year or two from now. So I don't know, because we're not in practice, you know, where he is or what playing him now and on this sunken ship would really do to that development. And that's not for me to decide, even if I did have a better idea of where he was, right? But always it was about, hey, this is a unique case because there's talent here to get this in the fifth round at this position. So if we can bring him along slowly, and if we can eventually get him to develop and put him in the right situation, maybe they have something. And what I saw for almost all of training camp backed up that thought, right? So, you know, does he have to play? What does, if he plays a few games, really mean in his long-term development? I don't know. I know as a franchise, they're where they didn't intend to be. But, you know, I just wonder just how many more games you could go through with the same thing, because I, like I said, that's the easiest question I've ever been asked in a radio interview is, what do you expect the stat line to be on Sunday? That's what it is every Sunday.
Zach Jackson of The Athletic on the fan hotline here. So obviously the next eight games are interesting because of the quarterback spot, but you had mentioned, you know, coaches don't traditionally get three back-to-back three-win seasons and keep their jobs. So I'll kind of go here. What are the next eight games have to look like for Kevin Stefanski to really be able to entrench himself going forward?
I think real improvement and implementation of plans towards improvement. I mean, I would just say that, you know, frankly, Nick, I probably mean the front office more, if not as much, obviously, as the head coach in terms of what I believe needs to change right now. But, like, I don't think there's any really rebuilding going on. And I think the first four guys they drafted are really good players. But, like, I'm not seeing anything in terms of a build. Like, I see a built defense, right? But I see an offense that for the second straight year is completely sunk. I see every week a combination of weird, bad fundamental football in some areas, multiple, that's leading to this team being in a bad spot. And as soon as this team's in a bad spot, it just doesn't recover. So, you know, these games are supposed to be close. They're supposed to be competitive. They should have won week one. They won in week three when they didn't score a point for 56 minutes. But just overarching here, for a season and a half, this offense has been unwatchably bad and does not score and does not scare anyone. So that probably is what would have to change for me.
You're around this team a ton, obviously. What do you think is one thing that is misunderstood about this team from either the general public or the general Browns fan?
I don't know. That's not one I've thought about, but I would say one of the things that I've wrestled with here, and I know it's a different argument that none of us can win every single day, and God bless you guys for doing it 5 hours a day every single day, but one of the things that's disappointing to me, or that says a lot to me, is that it's like the NFL is full of surprises and full of, you know, things don't last, right? But, like, this has been fairly predictable. like defense is really good, offense is a complete disaster, right? Like there's some promising young guys here. There's not enough. Like their offensive line is a mess. The wide receiving core is an embarrassment. Like those things are predictable, and those things are very bad.
Zach, you're going to hate this question. It's a hypothetical. I get it. But would the Browns have a better record if Mike Vrabel had become the head coach last January?
Yes. Yes. But, like, there is no way that he was going to be injured. It was never a realistic possibility. And there was no way that after being here that he was going to want that job, even if it was. So it was a unique set of circumstances that led him here. And I think it was an innovative move and a positive one to get him here. And I think everybody on board was fine with him leaving, and that was they got the intended result. And he saw an organization that had a bunch of cap space and a gem of a young quarterback, and I think he would have been on the first plane there even if he didn't have deep personal ties there. So just more than anything, like the situation here is not appealing to a top-level coach, and Mike Vrabel is a top-level coach.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, I feel like that often gets just a little misunderstood in the conversation of it all. It's like Vrabel was not – there was no amount of money that we were going to throw at him for him to be like, all right, my second chance at this, I'm going to take this job. First off, he always wanted the Patriots. And second off, they had a young quarterback in Drake May that had already proved himself.
Right. In the 46 years I've been covering this team, I would say that that is the dumbest discussion of them all. This team let Mike Vrabel leave.
Right.
Like, seriously, and I know there's dumb people out there, and every Sunday people get dumber, and that includes me, right? Well, like, getting dragged into this. But, like, that is probably, honestly, the dumbest discussion of them all.
Zach, I did see you had retweeted the piece where I talked about quarterback needy teams and how they're approaching 2026, and basically that they're just making other they're making other plans other than banking on this class. Can the Browns afford this in 2026? To not take a quarterback in the first round?
Ask me that on January 7th when we know the draft order.
All right. We got it locked in. January 7th, you're back here.
All right.
And,
verbal contract.
yeah, and last year Jonathan was first to get the Shador jersey, and this year he might be first to get the Mac Jones jersey.
No, so. That's a depressing jersey.
I don't think so. What's more depressing, Mac Jones or Kyler Murray?
Well, the cool thing about a Jones jersey is that there's going to be another Jones.
The Kyler Murray discussion is so depressing. There's no way. I can tell you that the Browns are not a Kyler Murray team.
Have you heard Nick's all short king room?
Oh, you
it's
ruined
his quarterback
it.
Room that he wants. Well, tell him. Go
the
ahead.
Thing
tell
about
him.
It, Kyler, Dylan, and then you draft whoever the shortest quarterback in this draft, and that way, like, remember, oh, we have a spread offense. We have a West Coast offense. No, we've got a short king offense.
Yeah, I would say for me to say that the Browns aren't going to do something with all I've seen is pretty strong, but they're not going to be a Kyler Murray team.
All right, let me ask you, I saw you tweeting about Paul DePodesta. What was your interpretation of the press conference? Was it a shot at Stefanski, or was there more to this?
No, it was given some thought, and I'm done giving any thought to the DePodesta era, but given some thought, it was a reference to what went around here was spread around by one very uninformed person. And it was probably a little too in the weeds for that format, but Paul obviously wanted to get it off his chest. And frankly, he has that right. He has the microphone. The Rockies chose him. And so, yeah, I it's not like I spent a ton of time. I just watched the two clips and I did see it last night, but this week, especially, is not the week for me to be hanging around the Twitter discussion and argument of the day, because none of us are getting any brighter from any of that.
I actually 1% brighter. Just this week, I got like 5% dumber last week. So it's, you know, kind of evens out in the wash.
It's been a long few months.
It's going to get longer. All right. So the chief strategy officer leaves. It's not that I don't want analytics here, because that's the dumb thing that you're talking about. But I also would like maybe football instead of, if you're 100% analytics, I'd like, can I get like 85% analytics with a football guy? Is that where you're going to go with the DePodesta going, or do you think that their process is their process?
No, I think analytics have a place in the game for sure. You know, they had their processes. He was here 10 years. These other guys have been here 6 years. I mean, by NFL standards, that's a long, long time. By Brown standards, that's centuries, right? So, no, I think because of the losing, Nick, and because of the air of secrecy that was and remains here, that sometimes that argument gets dragged into, you know, areas where people just don't know. But, like, you know, every team has an analytics department. The Browns is bigger than the rest of them, but every team has an analytics department. Every team has a research department. Every team should be using data and historical data and things to get every edge. Like, this is a super competitive league. And of course there's secrets, right? So when in the few cases that you do have an edge or have developed one or have a secret that you can unveil on a certain Sunday or potentially in a draft, you should use it. But I think there's so much blurriness and stupidity that got involved in the whole thing. Like, you know, you need good football players and you need to be well run. You need them all. But I just think it's gone well beyond the outside discussion of anything that it was. No other team had a chief strategy officer, right? Every team has something similar and people whose jobs it is to help the people who sign off on the final decisions make smarter decisions. Every team applies it differently. Every team makes those decisions differently.
All right, Zach, we might as well just touch them all for this segment then. Does Deshaun Watson get a start at any point this season?
I'm still pretty strongly no. You know, I'm not slamming the door, does remain cracked, right? And if he is elevated, or, you know, his window is opened, I guess, then there would be 21 days before they had to elevate / activate him. So the door is cracked. But I am strongly against that, or pretty strongly thinking that it won't happen. And I just cannot imagine them presenting a situation to where he would run out of the tunnel and start a home game, and they would allow him and themselves to get booed that way. I just don't think. I think there will be a formal split in the offseason, and the sides will go their separate way, and it will be remembered, as it should be, as one of the worst trades in the history of sports, something that sunk a pretty promising run they had put together here.
Zach, we got a boogie, buddy, but great stuff. Enjoy the game on Sunday and cherish these next 8 weeks. We really only have so much time on this earth.
I'll see you on January 7th.
Looking forward to
it. That's a verbal contract. That's a legal binding agreement there. Zach Jackson, The Athletic, on the Fan Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey. You know, frankly, Nick, I probably mean the front office more, if not as much, obviously, as the head coach in terms of what I believe needs to change right now. But, like, I don't think there's any really rebuilding going on. And that's – and I think the first four guys they drafted are really good players. But, like, I'm not seeing anything in terms of a build. Like, I see a built defense, right? But I see an offense that for the second straight year is completely sunk. I see every week a combination of weird – bad fundamental football in some areas, multiple, that's leading to this team being in a bad spot. And as soon as this team's in a bad spot, it just doesn't get tough. So, you know, these games are supposed to be close. They're supposed to be competitive. They should have won week one. They won in week three when they didn't score a point for 56 minutes. But just overarching here, for a season and a half, this offense has been unwatchably bad and does not score and does not scare anyone. So that probably is what would have to change for me.
Zach Jackson of The Athletic in the previous segment, a lot that I agree with there. Mm-hmm. I agree that Andrew Berry's track record is much more suspect than Kevin Stefanski's. I also, and I think you and I agree on this, I think Kevin Stefanski's much closer to getting fired than Andrew is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the pregame show last week, I was asked by Coach Riz, like, wait, so how do you think this is all going to play out? And I'll tell you right now, the way I see it, it seems like it's going to be Stefanski loses his job, and then Andrew Berry either gets a promotion or stays at his current level. But like the whole idea for a long time, we did this like this Bert and Ernie thing, as if they were tied to the hip, and it just doesn't feel like they are right now.
Yeah, and I mean, it's I just think it's really interesting that, you know, we started the show and Roberto Shenanigans accused us of being positive. Which I just felt more was
I kind of liked.
I did too.
Yeah, I was like, that's kind of nice. It's nice to be positive every now and again.
No, we like our guy, Roberto. I'm just playing. But I do think it's interesting. Like, the point wasn't that I'm incredibly positive or negative about this next 8-game stretch. But the point remains, there's more than enough runway left in the season to pull the nose up on this in some regard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like the offense is average and we need to get it to above average. It's the worst offense in the league.
One Albert Breer called one of the worst offenses over the previous 3 years of football that he's seen in the entire sport.
Like, you would imagine, like, guys, I'm not trying to be a jerk about this. It's hard to be this bad.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point when we say it's hard to keep your job for two straight years if you've got back-to-back 3-win seasons. The NFL is built on parity. The same thing can be said about the offenses. Usually, in terms of scoring, there's about 8 to 9 points per game between the 30th best offense and the best offense, right? It's maybe 10 points. The Browns are a wide margin worse than that. They're a full standard deviation off that, and I think that's what's – but again, that's an opportunity – for growth.
Well, and either, like, most teams, you know, Jake Browning can still have a couple games where he lights it up. Spencer Rattler can have a couple games where he lights it up. And then, obviously, the wheels fall off the bus, and then they start turning over the ball and having a bunch of interceptions. But there are at least semblances of, we have the football and we can do this. A lot of backups across the league, you can give them a couple drives, and they'll look competent. They'll look like you have a chance to score. When we watch these games, the Browns don't look like they have a chance to score. And that's, I feel like if you go down 10-0 in any of these games, you're just blouses, game over. And that's the real part that stinks. And Zach highlights it. We shouldn't all be surprised, but the idea that this defense is as good as it is and this offense is as dreadful as it is two extremes.
I don't think they're going to do it. Three-win Wilson remains. But the path for something more interesting than the first 9 games is there. You've got 5 home games in the final 8 games of the season.
Yeah.
And home cooking is, what do we always talk about? Like, honestly, guys, the Patriots are not a 9-2 team. They're not.
Remember,
they're really good. They're maybe a 6 or 7 win team, but they've had the perfect pathway of a schedule that has allowed them to be the best record in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, all right, the first half was a brutal schedule for you, the Jets game being the anomaly because you just lost to a team you shouldn't. You've got winnable home game, San Francisco, Tennessee. I know you finish up with Buffalo and Pittsburgh, but, like, guys, it's the NFL. Like, the 3 of your final 5 home games are incredibly winnable, as are two of your three, potentially all three of your final road games.
Yeah, it's all right there for him. It is not to go to the playoffs, but to at least get, look like you know what you're doing, look like you have a clue. And it, I think that does. I think it starts this weekend. I mean, how demoralized will be this team and everyone around it if they just do what the expectation is and just lay down and die against the Ravens?
Yeah. Well, and I think,
I mean, like, you'll just be shot.
I think, like, that's, you know, I do have, it's funny, like, I don't think I do this well enough. I have immense respect for the guys in that locker room, especially guys who've been here for a while. David Njoku, for Wyatt, for Joel. Like, there's so many guys on this team that I just like and I root for.
Mm-hmm.
And so for those guys, right, I just want this one. I want this for them because, man, I mean, they've hung in there. Like, they really have. To this point, I'm a little concerned that the Jets game was the, hey, I think we're on to Cabo kind of mentality. I'm a little worried that we're there, but this is the game that can counteract that.
I know. The worry I would have is that, is it just a shooting star? Because, you know, last year, they ended up losing seven out of their last eight. But
what happened
to
Bogo Peterlin?
Well, I want Bogo Peterlin. You told me Bogo Peterlin doesn't get to exist right now. Buy one, get one. You win this game, you get next week's game as well. I thought we decided this team hadn't earned a Bogo.
You can believe in Bogo Peterlin if you want.
I love a Bogo, but it doesn't exist for this week. But the reality is that last year they had the win against the Ravens, you had the win against the Steelers, the snow globe game, and all this fun and all this excitement. You still closed out the season losing seven out of your last eight. Like, even that win, that big win against the Steelers, really didn't do anything. It gave you a jolt, but all it did really was cost you the number one overall pick.
Yeah, and I think, but again, like, that's why these next eight games matter and why they should matter to Stefanski. If he can, and it's not just about, well, can you go 4-4? Or can you go 3-5? Can you get to 5 wins? Because right now, getting to 5 wins, I mean, Nick, would feel like a real accomplishment.
They're at the same spot this year that they were last year. Same record at week 10. And so, like,
and it was about week 15 where they were like, all right, we're shutting it down.
Yeah, but the losses had come as if they had shut it down 5 weeks prior.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So, like show me that, again, you're not going to lose seven out of your last eight to close out the year like you did last year. Show me that it'll be different than what we saw last season where you had the same 2-7 record after week 10.
So, thinking back to what we played, you know, Zach's comments here on just where this team is and where this team is going, the importance of the final eight games. Would Kevin Stefanski be safer right now? Right? He said, because Zach's point was, this is supposed to be a rebuild. It doesn't feel like there's any building going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are good young pieces in the defense, but look at the offense. If it was flipped, if the defense was historically bad, if it was Cincinnati.
Yeah, I was going to say, you'd be the Bengals.
But I don't want to make it just for, because they
You'd be the Cowboys.
But like, if the record
was the
same.
There's hope for those teams. Yes, there's hope for those teams.
Is it because it's an offensive league?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's hope for those teams. If you have an offense, you feel like you have a chance. I mean, and now historically, it's not really even true. Like, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl a few years ago, and they had the 18th best scoring defense in the NFL. This is before Spagnuolo started being treated as if he was the greatest defensive coordinator of all time. And, you know, teams could actually score on the Chiefs. And so, like, but, like, you can win with an average defense. You're not winning with the 18th best scoring offense in the NFL.
I think the reason why I agree, so I push back just because I'm like, all right, if you've got an elite unit, well, thank you.
Easy now.
If you've got something that you can point to and go, you can win with this, I think that's such a huge advantage in the NFL because then it just becomes fix the other thing. So I don't think it should matter. Well, okay, great offense, abysmal defense, abysmal offense, great defense. But here's the reason why it does ultimately, why I don't go contrarian or devil's advocate, is because Kevin is an offensive head coach. And he's not like, oh, I just came up on the offensive side of the ball.
Right.
It's no. You're here because of what you did as a play caller. You're here because of your game planning ability. And the offense is still that bad.
No, and that's a clear indictment of Stefanski. I was thinking about the Broncos in this conversation. The Broncos, obviously you have Bo Nix, but you have this elite defense. I can make an argument the Broncos are a better defense than what the Browns are, but we'll get what else the Broncos do really well. And I'm not even going to Bo Nix because I think the jury's still out on him. That's an elite offensive line, if not the best offensive line in the sport. It's number two. Like they have other things that they excel at that it's not just, you're not just a one-trick pony. And the problem for the Browns right now is you're a one-trick pony. It's all on the defense and the defense alone.
I think the other problem here is, again, and this is not a defense of Kevin or Andrew, I think you can make the case of, if you solidify that offensive line and found competent quarterback play, I think you'd be back to being competitive. Not competing for titles, but I think you'd be back in the 7-9 win range, which is an acceptable range to be. And most times when you replace the GM and or head coach, there are going to be changes, especially on the defensive side of the ball, especially if Jim Schwartz isn't back, that I think might take even longer to win.
I wonder if Jim Schwartz will come back.
You got to, right? Not from his side. I mean, from the Brown side.
You got almost like double his salary and be like, just stay here, please.
What do you want?
I think he's really proud of what he's built here, and he should be. And that's what I would cling to. I would hope that he's just really likes what this defense is. And everyone likes when you're on top. No one likes the building process. You like when it's built and then you're just maintaining it. And I think that might be an appeal to him.
And to me, the reason why you have to have...
But I might just be being hopeful here.
Well, the reason why you have to have Schwartz is I've seen him develop players.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah McGuire. I know MJ got hurt, but MJ Emerson, pretty much every young safety you have on this team has been developed. The linebackers, like guys like Diabate, undrafted free agent.
Even you get like veterans, like Malik Collins comes in here as having the best season of his career. Devin Bush comes in here as having one of the best seasons of his career.
But that's also another thing that we then compare Kevin to and go, well, we didn't give you a lot to work with, but we can't see development out of a quarterback, a wide receiver, an offensive lineman. I think that's another kind of mark against Kevin. 216-474-0092. So if the Browns had a great offense, but a historically bad defense, if we just flip the Browns' reality, would you feel different about this team and your hope for it going forward? I think it's also, it'd just be watchable. And I think people would just love a really watchable offense. Is this good for the NFL? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Serrano coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk on the Ravens side of this game on Sunday. Ask why he believes the game is only a 7.5-point line at this moment. Is there a little fear of getting upset? And then he'll laugh, and then we'll break it down. But a quick report coming in, and this is always tricky because the guy I'm about to quote isn't a reporter, but he's very well-sourced. Jim Bowden, a long-time MLB front office, now with The Athletic. He actually just put together a kind of an off-season, basically the GM meeting primer, and he said the Guardians are open to moving outfielder Stephen Kwan for more power and a better option for center field. I'm not against moving Stephen Kwan, especially if you think that you're just not going to re-sign him. If you're just, you know, skittish about that,
yeah,
because of the uneven production, the up and down stuff, and the fact that he's a really good contact hitter, and you just never know how those guys are going to age. I'm trying to find the fit.
Yeah.
And the fact that Duran of the Red Sox is also out there just feels like it's really going to manipulate the market for Kwan, which I think is already manipulated given the fact that he was really bad in the second half of the season.
And it's now three straight years that he's been bad in the second half of the season. I did notice Jeff Passan has put Kwan in basically everything that he's wrote, so obviously there's chatter about it. I guess now would be the time if you're going to do it. Also, way too much Brendan Donovan discussions, by the way.
Yeah, I need another.
Guardians faithful. What are we doing with that convo?
Nice baseball player.
But like that's the convo we're having, I guess.
Yeah, well, it would be moderately amusing if the Guardians traded Kwan because they want to get more power. And then the other trade they made was Brendan Donovan. Again, good baseball player. And his versatility, I think, is something that they want.
That's the appeal, and that's kind of why he fits what the Guardians do. He's a utility man. You can have him play second base until Bazana gets up there and then immediately throw him out there as a corner outfielder whenever you need him. Like that's the appeal to him. I'm tired of that being the appeal.
I know that no one's going to sign up for this because Jim Bowden also mentions Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, and Nolan Arenado. The Cardinals are hoping to move those guys this offseason if they ate a lot of money on Contreras. Because I think he's only got 1 or 2 years left on his deal.
Okay.
I wouldn't hate a little Wilson Contreras at first base.
Oh, at first?
Yeah, well, yeah, because he's been playing first base and DH at St. Louis.
Yeah.
I
still just think of him as a catcher, though, so it threw me off for a second.
I mean, kind of the atypical Guardians hitter, like some power, not a lot of power, good average hitter. I actually think he's a better first baseman than Kyle Manzardo is, which is not great.
I just love the idea that everyone is just like, hey, what do the Cardinals have this year? This is the offseason after their fans basically rioted for the first time in 30 years.
And it's also, I think everybody also realizes now that Mozeliak is out, they've got Chaim Bloom has taken over the former Red Sox GM.
Yeah.
And man, he seems ready to dance. He's just like, all these Mozeliak guys are got to get the bleep out of here. Now, that being said, we're not talking Cardinals baseball. He does seem very, like, it's all the guys that Mozeliak loves.
That's how you say his last name.
What is it?
Mozeliak.
Come on.
I know, it's just me.
It's the right way to say it.
What, your way?
Yeah.
Your way's not the right way to say it.
You're going to tell me it's not Scott Servais?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell you. That's what I'm going to tell you.
All right.
Mac is howling back there, I guarantee it.
Yeah. Mac's probably like, this single-A outfielder from the Cardinals is who we need to get.
He goes to the double-A system.
And then, by the way, Mac's going to bust in here like the Kool-Aid man to try and host 3 hours on it, too. That being said, we love you, Mac. And your beautiful hair. So finally coiffed. The best hair. That being said, Jim Nance, who is on Carrington Harrison, friend of the show, his show on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, had a very interesting point about this NFL season so far.
Man, what a year this has been. It's been the wackiest one for me, and this is 41 years for me being in the league. This has been a wonder to watch. I still think the Chiefs, if there was a tournament today and you bracketed this thing, you would look at it, and I would say, I'll take Kansas City.
Okay, so 41 years Nance has been doing NFL games, which is kind of surprising to think about it from that perspective, too. You just don't think about Nance being around for 41 years. But I think he's right. I think we're missing that because we're here talking about the Browns every day. Mm-hmm. But if I were to tell you before the season got underway, the Patriots would be leading the AFC East, and they'd be on an 8-game winning streak. Meanwhile, the Colts are winning the AFC South, and the Texans are at the bottom of the basement in that division. And in the AFC West, the Chiefs would be third, and then it'd be the Broncos into the Chargers. And not even bringing up the idea that 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers is leading the AFC North while Lamar Jackson is a couple games behind him. You'd be like, what the hell is going on?
I think it tells me how much Jim pays attention to the AFC versus the NFC.
Well, so the NFC's kind of chalk.
Yeah, it is. Eagles,
the NFC looks
Eagles,
very normal.
Lions, Tampa Bay, and Seattle in the Rams. Like
the NFC looks very like what you think it would, but the AFC is gone bonkers. Well, to a point that just doesn't make any sense. If you were to say any of the things that I'd mentioned before the season got underway, you'd be like, what the hell happened? And then our power teams, none of our power teams, the Bills, the Ravens, the Chiefs, if you want to throw the Bengals in there, none of the power teams are doing anything right now. None of them are leading the divisions.
I think this is the kind of season that the, I don't want to say casual fan, but like the fan who who will look at this and go, well, this is my team, but I also watch a lot of NFL, that fan has been hoping for, because Mahomes isn't in first place. He's in third place. Allen's in second place. Lamar's in second place. Like, I think there is a segment of fan, and it's what happened with Brady. It's what happened with Peyton, where you want greatness, and then at some point you get tired of greatness, and you want greatness to just fall back a little bit. For me,
I mean, this is chaos right now.
For me, like, I do not give a rip about this Patriots run, other than I really like Mike Vrabel.
They've won eight straight. But can I interest you in the Broncos on a 7-game winning streak? Like, I don't think many people are interested in that either. It doesn't seem as crazy, but it is. The Colts.
That's the most fraudulent 8-2 team in NFL
history. We keep saying that. And again, I think, listen, I'll say it right now with the Broncos. I don't think Bo Nix is as good as everyone thinks he is. And I think this is a very fraudulent streak they're on. We'll find out more on Sunday when they take on the Chiefs. But, like, how do I argue with these results right now? The results are telling you that the season is as wacky as ever. I can tell behind your eyes, though, you're not buying any of it. I can tell behind your eyes that by the time we get to the conference title game, the two teams that will be involved will be two of either Mahomes, Lamar, or Josh Allen. I can tell that just in talking to you right now.
Yeah, that's what we should expect.
All right. So,
and by the way, the funny thing is, the one that has the chance to actually upset the apple cart is the NFC. Like, that could be a team where it's like, because it's the standard Bears, maybe I'm just being contrarian now. It's not going to be the Bears, by the way. I wasn't saying that literally. But, like, the Rams could be the 5 seed. The Rams could actually do some damage.
Like, for sure they could.
Eagles
are imploding in front of our eyes.
I think if you're looking for where can things happen that'll be really interesting, I think it's the NFC, because I think the Chiefs and Bills and Ravens and a couple other teams, I think they're just – I don't want to say they're biding time, because they're all, except for the Ravens, they're like the Bills and Chiefs are far behind in their divisions, and yet I think they'll both be right where we expect them to be.
But I wonder how many fans that are listening to this right now are thinking to themselves that this is a wacky or wild NFL season. I would bet most probably aren't, and I don't know if that's the Browns. Do the Browns do this to us? Because the results tell us a completely different story.
We are chaos guys, by the way. We should definitely embrace this. But like a Bo Nix, Sam Darnold Super Bowl. If we're being honest,
Sounds very unwatchable. Awful. It sounds like the fourth best game on TV this weekend. It doesn't sound that great.
All right, Daniel Jones.
That's what this is right now.
Daniel Jones versus Caleb Williams. Or Daniel Jones versus Mac Jones, if it gets there.
A Jones off.
A Jonesen.
Keeping up with the Joneses. That will be the headline.
Keep making Jones puns.
That'll be the headline on Fox Sports 1 throughout the entire week.
Vinny Serrato of 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore joins us next. We'll talk about this Browns-Ravens game and how the Ravens are viewing this game, whether they expect to just show up and dust the Cleveland Browns, which I think sometimes they do. Vinny Serrato in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.